I'm absolutely convinced that if every teenager, in fact, if every child had someone who believed in them and a place to belong, it could radically affect their faith and their future. I mean, isn't that true, church? That the people who are pouring into the lives of our kids and our teenagers, I mean, really, that's so true about us. That if we had someone who believed in us and a place to belong, it radically affects our faith and our future. I mean, it's what's happening right now down the hallway. Is there was an intentional environment that was created for your child from birth to actually now preteen, so all the way up to sixth grade. There's an intentional environments that are happening. There are people who are pouring into your child, and it's affecting their faith and their future. This room, which is radically transformed into a youth center on Wednesday nights, where there are small groups and there are messages that are geared for teenagers, led by one of the greatest bands on the planet that you got to hear this morning. Absolutely. Because those are environments, those are people that we've been pouring into that started when they were in sixth grade, putting an instrument in their hands. It radically changes their faith and their future. And that's so true for us this morning, that we began to recognize that when someone does that to us, or we begin to do that to other people, God is giving us the opportunity to help mold and shape someone's faith and their future. Because we have to recognize, we have to raise the bar in how we spend our time. We have to begin to know that time is limited. So that means that we have to play for keeps this morning. From this moment on, I hope that that's what you'll do. And you may say, Pastor Lance, what does it mean to play for keeps? Playing for keeps means that we get serious about what we do with our time. This is a topic that's been near and dear to my heart for many years. So please, I say this morning, forgive me that I haven't necessarily bubbled this back up maybe in a while. But there is a new generation of North Point attender that you have come in on the team, Jesus, so to speak, that you've never heard me talk about this or bubble this up, so I'm grateful that you are here to be able to hear this maybe for the first time and hear me talk about this, is that when we begin to count the weeks and the moments, that we make the weeks count a little more. Maybe I can help paint the picture for you this morning by looking at it this way. For those of you who have children at home currently, or you had children living at home, and we have so many new babies. Does it seem like everybody's having a baby these days? Not me and my wife, but just a clarification. But the thing is the reality that I want you to see is that from the time a child is born until they turn 18 or they graduate, you'll get 936 weeks. Give or take a few, you may get a few more. You know, a little failure to launch moment kind of thing. Some want to kick them out a little sooner. Maybe you have a few less. But this is the weeks. These are the moments that you get with your child. And I want you to get this visualization today. It's because what happens faster than you think is those weeks go by really fast. You know how I know that? I relate so well to this topic because my oldest just turned 16. This one represents 105 weeks left. That's it. 105 weeks. You guys may have noticed I've posted a few videos on my stories on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and she's learning to drive. I lost a couple more weeks just from that alone. Then my middle daughter, who just turned 13 on Friday, I have 262 weeks heading into eighth grade this year, finishing up her middle school years. So I have two teenage daughters now. So you should pray for Pastor Lance twice as much. And then my youngest, who was in the preteen class here at North Point. She just finished up her elementary school years. I no longer have an elementary school child, and I only have 366 weeks with her. I now have two middle school daughters. Another prayer point for Pastor Lance. But the reality is this time goes by so, so fast. The weeks and the days, they just trickle away. You know how I know that? Because I left one soul marble up here for you to put it in perspective. You would have saw the graduates in the videos, and in your bulletin there is a list of graduates. There was about 12 this year that graduating that we wanted to let you know. We had a very specific service that we did on Wednesday nights, invited the parents and had a service just for them to kind of have a special moment. But this last soul marble, and for some, it already went away because some already officially graduated, so they have no weeks left or no marbles. But I'm reminded of two gentlemen in there that I met 9 years ago, which was Trent Shorey and Seth Wells, when I was their PE teacher, when they're little elementary school boys. I think Seth was like right here. Now he's up, maybe a little higher. But it's amazing to think that in less than a week, he'll graduate. And there will be no more weeks left. That's how fast this happens for us. And so that's why we have to get intentional. And I know that many of you in here this morning, you may be an empty nester, or maybe you don't have kids just yet. But what I want to bring to you in a practical sense is that we know that time flies by. And so this message and the heartbeat of it also is about that. How are we spending our time? How are we getting intentional about this? And Moses has a prayer that shows us how fast time flies by and how real it gets. And so out of Psalms chapter 90, I'm going to start at verse 1, and we're eventually going to get to the key verse of today that tells us when God says. So follow along with me. Psalm 90, starting verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, and throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. And 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass in the morning. It springs up, and by evening it's dry and withered. Verse 7, but we are consumed by your anger and terrified of your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. And all of our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Verse 12. But teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is what God is wanting to tell us, isn't it? When God says to number our days. That last verse is really what we want to stand upon as we talk about this topic today. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because the reality is I want you to understand that what you do today matters. What you do this week matters. Because you'll see people who are walking around in these bright colored blue shirts that have already been serving have served or will serve today in our kids' ministry, on Wednesday nights in our student ministry. And even the individuals that you will encounter this week or even today, it matters. The time that you spend matters. Because when we take time and we repeat it, and it's consistent and it's faithful. That time spent and invested can become memorable and impactful in the life of the people we encounter. Pouring into our kids and our teenagers and being intentional about doing it. Think about it. Love. Love is just love until we do it over time. And when love done over time, it helps develop a person's worth. Fun. Think about fun. Some of you need to have more fun. Need to maybe loosen up a little bit. There's some elbows going on in the crowd. But fun is just fun. But then when fun is done over time, it begins to deepen the relationship and the friendship. Come on Wednesday night. You'll figure that out. Real fast in our student ministry environment. Words. Words are simply things that we tweet or we post. Get that right quote. Put it on the picture. To get more likes, more views, and more followers. But when words are done over time, they become a collection of messages that help point people in a better direction. One of my favorites, stories. Stories are just things that we tell to get people to like us or to inquire more laughter or likability. But actually, if stories are done over time, they begin to help create an imagination for a child to help their perspective of the world change. That's why what you and I do this week, it matters. It matters in someone's life. It matters that we do it over time, over and over again. Whatever matters will matter more over time. It pays to keep doing what we do over and over again. When we realize how much time we have left, we begin to get serious about the time that we have now. What we have to realize is that time is limited and it's fleeting. And so many of us as leaders, we know this. Because when we sit down and when we're in the intentional environments that we've created, and leaders and small group leaders, we get about 50 weeks with a child or a student. But what we truly understand is that after vacations and sicknesses and holidays and conflicting interests like ball games and dances and recitals and all those kind of things, it really boils down to about 40 weeks a year. That kind of comes out to about 40 hours. And now I'm just stuck with a handful of marbles to get the biblical truths inside of children and teenagers. Or even when you're coming to essentials classes or Bible studies on Wednesday night. It's really not a lot of time that we have. So we have to learn to value the time that we have to get these biblical truths. And we begin to put a number to our days and our weeks. We begin to look at it in a completely different light. See, when we look at the time that we have left, we make what matters, matters more, right? When you begin to realize that we don't have a lot of time left, we want to become more focused and be intentional about what we're trying to get into our children, into our teenagers. I think about it this way. I go to, at this time of the year, when graduations start happening, there's always that table that's off to the side, and it's for gifts and cards that you want to leave the grads. But there's always this little opportunity to give a graduate one more little nugget, or we call them like big rocks, that we want a piece of advice or wisdom that you want to share with that graduate before they head off to college. But what if that's the intentionality that we take with every single moment that we have? I mean, what are the real big rocks that we want our children and our teenagers? Because the reality is we also don't know how long you're going to be here at North Point. And so we know that we have a stewardship issue, that we want to be good stewards of the time that God has blessed us with your presence and through our services and in our Bible studies. Because there are biblical truths that we want to make sure that you leave here forever, how long God has you here, and wherever he's going to move you into the future. Things like to know the love of God and to begin that relationship with him. To know what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To know him as forgiver and Lord. Be the leader of their life. To have a strong grasp on biblical truth. To know that God is real, his word is true, and this has the power to change your life. To really know what it means to be in true biblical community. Aww. But no matter how silly this looks, but the truth is we do want to teach our children and our teenagers and anybody who walks through these doors that it is important to have true biblical community and to have good relationships and how to cultivate that. That through God's word that we begin to see the light that God is shining and to be able to take that light into the world and help it to change their perspective of their world. And they begin to not just see the world or be influenced by the world, but to take God's perspective and how he wants them to move and create in their world. These are the big, big rocks that we want to make sure that we get inside of our students. Because the truth is, church, you and I, we can't make anyone believe in God. And we feel so tired, especially as parents and as leaders. We feel tired because we keep trying to force them to have this belief. We keep trying to force this. You and I, we can't force anyone to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God, no matter what we do. And we're so busy trying to force this and we spin our wheels that we get tired. We get worn out. I want to encourage you this morning that we do have a responsibility, but the responsibility is to do what only we can do. I'm going to lay some truth on you. You have to trust God to do what he can do. I know that that's hard. That's hard for me a lot of times. God, why can't I just force my kids? Try getting them to eat a vegetable. And so by doing that, doing what we can do, we have to be intentional about creating the environments that are down the hallway, that are on Wednesday nights, and getting them, because we can't force them to be in relationship with God, but we can put them in environments that they can grow spiritually. We can't make our kids or teenagers, we can't make another individual believe the Bible, but we do have a task and we do have the responsibility to take and use our energies to create opportunities to share biblical truth with them, to help them to realize that the time that we spent with them, that you can show them that God's word is real, that it's alive and that it's active and it's life-changing. That's how we can spend our energies. That's how we can do our best to give people to see God's love on display. I hope you realize it, or maybe you don't, but I'll tell you that you and I, we may be the best chance for anyone to ever see God's love on display. In Moses' prayer from Psalm 90, he tells us to number our days. But he writes down in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he challenges us again this morning when he says, starting verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. See, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them onto your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Maybe you like it the way the Message says it this way. I like the practical wording it uses. It says, write these commands that I give you today on your hearts. See, get them inside of you and get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are. When you're sitting at home or you're walking in the street, talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until the time you fall into your bed at night. See, church, we have to be intentional about sharing God's promises and His story and the good news. And we have to do it over and over and over again. Because sometimes we don't see the immediate results. And I mean, we're in such a I want it now society in 2019. I want Uber Eats. But if you will be consistent and you will be faithful and you will be intentional that this week and that week and the next week, they begin to become a collection. And the collection together can have a grateful impact on that person's life, on that student's life. When we see how much time that we have left, we tend to value what happens over time. And many of you may relate to that thought because the reality is what's happening by spending all this time with an individual, you are creating history together. You're creating history with your child, with your teenager, that individual that you are leading and discipling and walking beside in Christ. There are these moments that happen. Call it crisis, calamity, a brokenness. And they will never listen to you without the time, without the history, without being known by you. Because each of us want that. We all want to be known. We want to be known by God, and we want to be known by others. But when you're intentional with those relationships, when you're intentional with that time, there are these moments where you get to come in and you can pop in at the hospital when they're going through something heavy or when they're going through a brokenness. And because you have that history and because you have that intentionality and you've had that time with them, you can help that individual understand what it truly means to be loved and forgiven. Because of the time that you've spent. Our real job and our real task that's in front of us is that we have to learn to be present now. That's truly what it means to leave a legacy. So often we get confused. We hear the word legacy and it's like, hey, what can I leave behind for the next generation when I'm gone? But if I'm being honest with you, true legacy is, what are you leaving now? What are you pouring into? Who are you pouring into to leave in now? So as a parent, as a teacher, as a leader, as a coach, our job is, I guess you can look at it as simple. It's to show up time and time again and be present now. Because I want to tell you, for those of us who do still have kids, you'll only experience your child at the age they are once. You have a toddler, a 2 or 3 year old, you'll only experience them as a 2 or 3 year old once. That's all you'll need. Maybe you're like me, you just got a teenager and they're 13 and you only want to experience that once. But on the real, we have to show up in the environment, and it's necessary for us to show up in this environment now and be intentional how we're spending our time with them. I want to close this morning by reading you a note that Reggie Joyner wrote to a friend of his as he was getting ready to do and partake in a wedding of a friend. His friend's daughter was getting married. And it shows us this tug of war of knowing when to hold on and when to let go. He says, knowing when to hold on and when to let go is more complicated than we ever imagined it would be. That's because our kids trick us at first. And when they're toddlers, they hold on pretty tight and they make you believe that they're never going to let go. So you do what a parent should do and you hold on tight too. And they may run off a few feet, but they always come running back. And then they become young children and they act like they believe everything you say. And they want you to be there for their games and their plays and their dances and all the important moments in life. And they even act like they believe most of what you say. So you keep holding on so you can lead and guard their heart. And somewhere around middle school, they start teasing you. They let go when you're not expecting it. And they do it more often than you feel they should. They even start behaving like you should start letting go more, but they never really tell you when to let go and when to hold on. You're just supposed to know somehow, and it really starts to get confusing. And the complexity of decisions can put you in a daze as a parent, and without warning, they become teenagers. And they start moving toward adulthood at warp speed. That's when it's a temptation to panic, but you don't want them to see it. It seems there is much at stake, and there's always a tendency to hold on too tightly when you should let go, and let go when you should have held on tightly. See, the problem is there's no textbook, there's no parenting class, there's no 24-hour hotline counselor that you can call to explain exactly when it is you should hold on and when you should let go. You're just supposed to figure it out. And so you do the only thing you know to do. You guess and you pray and you feel your way through every decision. And sometimes you get it right. And sometimes you don't. You never stop trying to figure it out for this one reason. Because he is your son and she is your daughter. And you want them to know that you're never going to stop fighting for their future and your relationship with them. We have a limited opportunity with the people around us. You will only be remembered by the people you know now. When you see how much time is left, you want to make what matters more. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, thank you for this morning and this opportunity to be challenged and convicted by your word and by how we're spending our time. Lord, teach us what your scripture says, that we have a responsibility. We have a stewardship issue here that we need to be accountable for how we're spending our time, how we're getting to know you more and make you known, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your truth this morning that when we become intentional, when we become faithful, we can greatly impact the lives of those around us. With children, with teenagers, with everyone that we encounter. Today matters. This week matters. We ask this all in your name. Amen.